Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Hoping you're having a very pleasant Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are critiquing a message that was given by Mormon Apostle Jeffrey R. Holland at the 187th Semi-Annual General Conference. This message was given on September 30th, 2017. It was a Saturday morning session, and the title of his message was, Be Ye Therefore Perfect Eventually. Now, don't get us wrong, folks. We do believe that that sanctification that we hope to receive is going to come to fruition in the next life. We are never going to be 100% sanctified in this life. But I think Jeffrey Holland, in trying to set at ease some members in his church that are distressed by the fact that they don't feel like they're living up to the standards they need to in order to receive exaltation, I don't think he really helps them out. In fact, what I would say is, I think Jeffrey Holland is flat out contradicting many of the things that are not only said in Mormonism's standard works, including the Book of Mormon and including the Doctrine and Covenants, but also he is contradicting a lot of statements made by Mormon leaders of the past.
And Bill, part of the problem is everything is written down. I mean, the Mormon Church is very good at documenting these things, so it's not hard to find these things out.
Not at all. Now, we're going to play you one more clip from his message, and I want you to listen carefully to the first sentence that Jeffrey R. Holland says in this paragraph.
What I now say in no way denies or diminishes any commandment of God he has ever given us. I believe in his perfection, and I know we are his spiritual sons and daughters with divine potential to become as he is. I also know that as children of God, we should not demean or vilify ourselves, as if beating up on ourselves is somehow going to make us the person God wants us to become. No. With a willingness to repent and a desire for increased righteousness always in our hearts, I would hope we could pursue personal improvement in a way that doesn't include getting ulcers or anorexia, feeling depressed, or demolishing self-esteem. That is not what the Lord wants for primary children or anyone else who honestly sings, I'm trying to be like Jesus.
In my opinion, when Jeffrey Holland says, what I now say in no way denies or diminishes any commandment God has ever given us, I think he just nullified his entire talk. Because if you were not allowed to exclude all of those previous commandments that Mormons have been given, and those commandments would also not only be found in the standard works, but they would also be found in the conference messages. And we've been citing a lot of conference messages this week. We often cite conference messages. And if Holland is going to help alleviate the pain and suffering that a lot of Mormons are feeling because of this heavy burden of things they must do, and then he says he doesn't want to deny or diminish any of those commandments, Jeffrey Holland, those commandments are the culprits causing the problems with those in the Mormon church who feel that they're not adequate. Is a Mormon going to be correct in dismissing all these other things that have been said? I would say no, they wouldn't, but I think Jeffrey Holland just undermined his entire lesson here by saying he doesn't want in any way to deny or diminish any commandment God has ever given us. Okay, well, let's look very quickly at just a very few of those commandments. How about this? We mentioned it earlier this week, Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 32. Nevertheless, he that repents and does the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven. A question I would like to ask Jeffrey Holland, I would like to ask any Mormon listening, does this verse, verse 32, imply that your repentance should be anything less than a full confession and a full abandonment of sin as it reads in section 58 of the Doctrine and Covenants? I don't think so. Does this verse 32 imply that you only need to keep some of the commandments in order to receive the forgiveness that you seek? I don't think it does. In fact, Mormon leaders, when they have talked on this particular subject, have made it clear, no, you are to keep all of the commandments. Even Jeffrey Holland said that again in 2012. I don't think we can forget this. He made that comment. Then we have the Doctrine and Covenants 76:52, that by keeping the commandments, they might be washed and cleansed from all their sins and receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of the hands of him who is ordained and sealed unto his power. Is it implying here that by keeping some of the commandments, they might be washed and cleansed? I've never heard a Mormon leader interpret that verse that way.
And again, the title of this is called Be Ye Therefore Perfect Eventually. I don't see also where it says that you're supposed to fulfill these commandments eventually. It's meant to be for now.
Twice now in this series, I've talked about Jeffrey Holland saying that you must keep all of the commandments. And to be fair, let me just cite where I'm getting that. This is from the Ensign, August 2012, page 48. This is what Jeffrey Holland said. For us, the fruit of that faith includes repentance, the receipt of gospel covenants and ordinances, including baptism, and a heart of gratitude that motivates us to deny ourselves of all ungodliness, to take up our cross daily, and to keep his commandments, all of his commandments. Now, it's interesting, in that statement, he also cites from Moroni 10:32, which he will cite also in this conference message titled, Be Ye Therefore Perfect Eventually. But this is what Jeffrey Holland does in this recounting of this verse that he didn't do in that citation from 2012. He said, Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, ... Moroni pleads. Period. Then he goes on, love God with all your might, mind, and strength. Then, ... by his grace, you may be perfect in Christ, end quote. His ellipses in this quotation that he gives on this day, September 30th, 2017, tends to take out the real bite of Moroni 10:32, because when we're on the streets talking to Mormons, we often cite Moroni 10:32, but the difference is we cite it in its entirety, not the way Jeffrey Holland has cited it in this conference message. What does Moroni 10:32 say in its entirety?
It says, Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God.
Jeffrey Holland, and I have to believe purposely, left out, deny yourselves of all ungodliness. You see, folks, it's that kind of language that causes a lot of anxiety with members of the LDS Church. Why did Jeffrey Holland feel it necessary back in 2012 to include that in the citation? But when he's talking on September 30th, 2017 in General Conference, he chooses to leave out that very important section of Moroni 10:32.
In his September 30th talk, after he cites a part of this verse, this is what he says. Our only hope for true perfection is in receiving it as a gift from heaven. We can't, quote unquote, earn it. Thus, the grace of Christ offers us not only salvation from sorrow and sin and death, but also salvation from our own persistent self-criticism. Now, Bill, Moroni 10:32 does not support what he just said there.
No, it doesn't. But in that same paragraph that we just played for you, he goes on to say, no, with a willingness to repent and a desire for increased righteousness always in our hearts, I would hope we could pursue personal improvement in a way that doesn't include getting ulcers or anorexia, feeling depressed, or demolishing our self-esteem. What did Spencer W. Kimball say about that in his book, The Miracle of Forgiveness? And this is really a point of contention with us, folks. What Jeffrey Holland is saying in this speech flat out contradicts what the 12th president of the Mormon Church had to say on this subject. On page 163 of The Miracle of Forgiveness, the 12th Mormon prophet, seer, and revelator of the Mormon Church said, desire is not sufficient. In other words, it is not real repentance until one has abandoned the error of his way and started on a new path. Now, why is the miracle of forgiveness important? It is the one book written by a general authority that has been given the sanction of recommended reading, not only in the personal opinions of another general authority, but in general conference itself. Richard G. Scott, for instance, recommended reading The Miracle of Forgiveness if you want to have a proper understanding of what is expected of a Latter-day Saint when it comes to forgiveness.
He says, in The Miracle of Forgiveness, Spencer W. Kimball gives a superb guide to forgiveness through repentance. It has helped many find their way back. Now, that was in the conference from April of 1995, and then the conference in October of 2000 at General Conference, he says something very similar. He says that Kimball's inspired book is The Miracle of Forgiveness continues to help the faithful avoid the pitfalls of serious transgression. So that's pretty serious. When you take a book written that's not a standard work and it's not a church manual and recommend it at General Conference, that seems to be something that ought to be taken very seriously.
Well, especially when you have a 70 by the name of Richard L. Evans also stating in conference, this is back in April of 1970, you'll find this on page 16 of conference reports, many of you would be familiar with President Spencer Kimball's wonderful work on the miracle of forgiveness. So he's recommending it as well.
And let me just give you one more quote from that book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, is pages 208 and 209. This is what Kimball wrote. This progress toward eternal life is a matter of achieving perfection. Living all the commandments guarantees total forgiveness of sins and assures one of exaltation through that perfection which comes by complying with the formula the Lord gave us. Then he cites from Matthew 5:48, which we've been talking about this week. Being perfect, he writes, means to triumph over sin. This is a mandate from the Lord. He is just and wise and kind. He would never require anything from his children which was not for their benefit and which was not attainable, which seems to go right with 1 Nephi 3. And then it says, perfection, therefore, is an achievable goal.
He uses the expression, a mandate from the Lord. Would that not be a commandment from God?
Yes.
And yet, in this message, Jeffrey Holland says, what I now say in no way denies or diminishes any commandment God has ever given us. Is it any wonder that a Latter-day Saint might be confused as to what is expected of him if he hopes to receive the best the Mormon God has for him?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.